This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, senior attending in neurosurgery.
And I'm Dr. Alara, research fellow. Today we're looking at a fascinating new study from the Neurosurgical Review, published in 2026. The paper is titled Middle Meningeal Artery Arteriovenous Shunting After Surgical Evacuation of Chronic Subdural Hematoma, a Retrospective Angiographic Cohort Study by Garner and colleagues from Saarland University Hospital.
This is a timely topic, Alara. We've seen a massive shift in how we manage chronic subdural hematomas, CSDH, over the last few years. With the rise of middle meningeal artery, or MMA, embolization as both a standalone and adjunctive treatment, we are looking at the dural vasculature more closely than ever before.
Exactly. In the past, we didn't frequently perform selective and superselective angiography of the MMA in postoperative patients. But now that we're doing these procedures for recurrent or refractory cases, we're seeing things that might have previously remained unrecognized. The authors of this study essentially used MMA embolization as an opportunity to systematically characterize postoperative dural vascular abnormalities.
Right. It's like having a new window into the healing brain. So tell us about the patient cohort they looked at.
They reviewed 30 consecutive patients who underwent MMA embolization after surgical evacuation of a CSDH between 2020 and 2023. It's important to note this wasn't every CSDH patient. It was a selected cohort referred for embolization due to recurrence, residual hematoma, or high risk of recurrence. They looked at selective and superselective angiograms to find evidence of arteriovenous shunting.
And what were they looking for specifically when they defined shunting?
They defined it operationally as early or focal venous opacification arising from MMA branches. Crucially, they noted these were low flow characteristics without any cortical venous reflux.
That's a key safety point for our residents listening. The absence of cortical venous reflux suggests a lower immediate risk of hemorrhage compared to high-grade dural AV fistulas. Now, let's get to the headline results. What was the frequency of these shunts?
It was surprisingly high. Out of the 30 patients, 11 had angiographic evidence of MMA arteriovenous shunting. That's 36.7%.
Over a third of the patients. That is significant. But the most striking finding was the correlation with the type of surgery performed, wasn't it?
Absolutely. This is the aha moment of the paper. They classified the initial surgical technique as either burr-hole craniotomy or formal craniotomy. They found that shunting was significantly more frequent after a formal craniotomy compared to a burr-hole. In fact, 90.9% of the shunts identified were in patients who had a craniotomy. In contrast, only 5.3% of the burr-hole group showed shunting. The Fisher's exact test give a p-value of less than 0.001.
That is a very strong correlation. It makes sense from a physiological standpoint, doesn't it? A formal craniotomy involves a much larger disruption of the dural architecture and the meningeal vessels compared to a simple burr-hole. We know that inflammatory and angiogenic mechanisms are key drivers of membrane formation in CSDH. This study suggests that the more extensive surgical trauma of a craniotomy might trigger a more pronounced vascular remodeling process.
The authors actually discuss the biological plausibility of this. They mention that components of the dural vascular network exist at a micrometer scale, and there's evidence for physiological arteriovenous connections within the dura mater. The trauma of surgery or the subsequent healing process might accentuate these connections into detectable low-flow shunts.
Let's dive into the angiographic specifics for the interventionists and residents. How easy were these shunts to see?
Most were detectable even before the microcatheter was advanced into the distal MMA branches. However, the authors emphasize that super-selective angiography, getting that microcatheter right up to the vessel in question, significantly improved their ability to see the shunt morphology and the specific venous drainage.
And did these shunts persist after the embolization procedure?
No. In every single case where a shunt was identified, the post-embolization control angiography showed that the shunt had disappeared.
Which brings us to the clinical million-dollar question. What do we do with this information? Does the presence of these shunts actually matter for the patient's outcome?
That's where the study remains cautious. The authors state that the clinical relevance of the shunting remains uncertain. They weren't trying to establish causality or even say that these shunts caused the recurrence of the hematoma. They describe it as a previously unrecognized postoperative vascular phenomenon.
It's a classic case of we found it because we started looking. For the practicing neurosurgeon, this study suggests that if you're taking a patient to the angio suite for MMA embolization after a formal craniotomy, you should be very much prepared to see these low-flow shunts. It shouldn't necessarily surprise you or change your embolization strategy, but it's an important part of the angiographic landscape now.
Right, and it reinforces the idea that the dura is a very active, dynamic environment after surgery. The authors call for prospective investigation to see if these shunts are actually linked to clinical outcomes, or if they're just a benign byproduct of dural healing.
I think this paper also highlights the value of super-selective angiography. For our residents, when you're in the neuroangio suite, don't just settle for the external carotid artery injection. Going super-selective into the MMA provides a level of detail about the dural vascular architecture that is becoming increasingly relevant as our treatments become more targeted.
It also highlights the spectrum of these findings. They could range from just accentuated physiological transit to true low-flow meningeal AV fistulas. It's a nuance that really requires a trained eye to interpret correctly on the table.
Well, this has been a great deep dive into a very specific yet clinically relevant piece of new research. To summarize, MMA arteriovenous shunting is surprisingly common after CSDH surgery, nearly 37% in this cohort, and it is overwhelmingly associated with formal craniotomy rather than burr-hole evacuation. These are low-flow shunts that can be resolved with embolization, though their long-term clinical significance is still a target for future study.
Exactly. It certainly changes how I'll be looking at those post-op angiograms from now on.
Thank you, Dr. Ilara, and thank you to our listeners for joining us on the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. We hope this helps you in your next clinical rotation or case.
We'll see you next time. Would you like a summary of the next segment of this journal issue?